Well, welcome to the Business Blueprint. This is our sixth episode, and I am flying solo today, normally joined with by Joe Sandeen, who's our founder, our CEO over at OnSharp. I am the marketing director over there. A few episodes ago, we talked about EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And part of that is having these regular annual meetings with your leadership team. And Joe is off doing that right now. So here I am to talk to you about marketing. I'm the marketing director at OnSharp, and I've been in the marketing world for about 20 years now. And that's included small business marketing, some nonprofit stuff, B2C, online retail, and B2B software marketing. So I've done quite a bit in this space. And what we're going to talk about on this episode of the show is what to do when your marketing isn't working. And I know a lot of business owners, a lot of entrepreneurs can face a lot of frustration when they're putting time and energy and dollars into advertising, into marketing, and they're just not seeing the results that they want to see. So the question becomes, what do you do? And all too often, the answer is given that you just need new tactics. You need new gimmicks. Maybe you need a new website. You need a new logo rebrand, all of these things. Checking out different AI tools or linking up with some third party to help with your Google ads or whatever else. But most of the time, that what has happened is these companies have drifted from really foundational marketing principles. There's basically some rules that you need to revisit time and again to make sure that your marketing doesn't get off track. So that's the good news. You know, things drift over time. You kind of get off track with your marketing messaging, and that impacts, obviously, customers coming into your location if you're a brick and mortar, or sales coming in, or leads, or whatever it is might fit your business. This can be fixed. A lot of times, it's really a matter of getting back to basics. So that's what we're going to cover. What to do when your marketing is not working. We're going to be talking about how defining your audience is the foundation for really all effective marketing. No matter what your business is, that's going to apply. We're going to talk about how to craft a clear and compelling message that people are actually going to understand what it is you're offering and why they should choose you over another competitor. Why trust and not attention is the real goal of your marketing, your advertising, and how strong brands are built through consistency and not just creativity. So that's our goal on this episode of the Business Blueprint, and really want to help you solve any challenges that you might have by getting back to some of these core principles. So if you are a business owner, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are a marketer, if you're really anyone wants to know better how to market yourself or your business or your organization, I'm confident that you're going to get something out of this conversation. So the very first thing that we want to talk about when getting our marketing back on track is defining your audience. The biggest mistake that companies make, small businesses especially do this, is when you ask them, who is your customer? They answer, everybody. You've probably had folks that maybe have pitched a business idea or mentioned opening up a store, or maybe they have some online venture that they're looking to do. And you ask them, well, you know, who would you be selling to? And they answer, oh, everyone. Everyone's going to want what I'm selling. And that's never, ever true. If you try to target everyone, you're not going to target anyone. And one of the things that businesses really need to understand, and it doesn't matter how established they are, it doesn't matter what size they are. I've seen businesses of all sizes, all types, whether they're direct to consumers or they sell to other businesses, they think that everyone is a potential customer, and that's just not the case. Everyone is not your customer. And there's some real challenges that come about if you make this mistake of thinking everyone can be your customer. First, it makes your marketing tactics, the tools, the rhythms that you get into, the different advertising channels, it makes it way too difficult. You can't task your marketer with advertising your store, your business, your services to everyone. All that's going to do is going to kill your effectiveness. It's going to waste a lot of ad spend because you're trying to appeal to way too broad an audience. There's no need. There's really no advantage in pretending that everyone might be your customer. So what you want to do is you want to get as specific as you can. And if you only did that one thing, if you took some of the conversation that we're going to have here on this episode, and all you did was go back to your team and sit down and better refine your audience, you are going to watch your marketing gain a lot more traction in 2026. What you really need to be willing to do is to determine who is not your customer and get comfortable with the idea of that you're going to leave that off the table. You're not going to pursue different, and that could be job roles. It could be parts of the country. It could be based on what their needs are, whatever that might be. And we're going to get more into that in a second. You have to be willing to not market your business to different audiences. So the question becomes, who do you market your business to? And what you really want to develop is what's known as an ideal customer profile, or ICP. And all that means is that you are targeting a specific job role or industry or size of an organization or parts of the state or region or town. You might target them based on the problems that they have. These are different things that you can do to refine who it is that you are trying to reach with your messaging. Because if you don't do this, what will end up happening is you don't speak to any particular audience. So what you're stuck doing is just talking about features of your product. All you do is say that your widget is made out of this and it has this functionality and it can do that. And ultimately, that's not what gets people to buy. People buy no matter what it is. It could be something that's $3 in line at Walmart. It could be something that's $300,000. Ultimately, it does come down to emotional responses and buying. And to speak to that, you have to speak to problems. You can't talk about you and your business. You need to talk about benefits. You need to talk about their problems that they have. And that helps shorten the sales cycle because you're speaking directly to them and you're not wasting your time on people that are never, ever going to be your customer. So you really want to clarify as much as you can. Who is your particular audience? And that helps you differentiate too. Think of how much easier your messaging is when you know who you're selling to. And let's think of a couple of examples. It doesn't matter if you sell something that other people sell. It doesn't matter if your service is similar to other services. There's a lot of hotels out there. And so what is it that the hotel is selling? Well, the basic answer, and what I would say is the wrong answer, is a place to sleep. Successful hotel brands don't sell you a place to sleep. Think of the difference between Super 8 motels and like a Holiday Inn Express or an American or the Ritz-Carlton or some really fancy resort hotel. They're all selling essentially the same service. They have a place to stay, a place to park your car, a place to sleep. They have general ideas of what that looks like to do successfully. It's not noisy, it's safe, all of these things, but they're not selling the same product because they're not selling to the same people. Super 8 is probably close to just selling you a place to sleep that is relatively clean and safe and all that. Holiday Inn Express is probably geared towards families that want a place to stop on a road trip. They want free breakfast. They want it clean and safe and a normal, repeatable experience each time they go. And obviously the Ritz-Carlton is a very different experience. Think of the difference between a Casio and a Rolex. Rolex doesn't talk about features and how far underwater you can go. Rolex is selling status and style. Casio, they might emphasize durability and functionality or whatever else. The reason that they differentiate their marketing, the reason they're successful in their branding, is because they've defined their audience. So think of this test. If a prospect lands on your website, can they tell in 5 seconds or less whether you are for them or not? Because they need to know, recognize themselves immediately. Oh, this person is selling something to me, for my needs. Your audience is not everyone. If you go into business, or if you allowed your business to drift and you've kind of had this creep over the years of adding new features to your product or new services to your location or new products on your product line all the time until you've gotten to this kind of this really vague sense of who your customer is, You've started acting as if your customer is everyone. And if you don't define your target audience, you greatly improve your chances of not succeeding with your marketing spend and your marketing efforts. So that's the first thing that we're going to tackle, is defining your audience. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to craft a strong message to that audience and how to compel them to really consider your offering. We'll be right back for more of the Business Blueprint in just a minute. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. Just with me, Clay, here talking about how you can fix your marketing by returning to core marketing principles. We just got done talking about how you need to define your audience, and you really need to aim small. You can't market as though you're speaking to everybody, because not everybody is going to be your customer. You really need to go after a particular specific market segment, a specific audience or ICP, ideal customer profile. So we've covered that, but now the question becomes, how do you speak to them? How do you engage that audience once you know who it is you want to be talking to? Well, as you can imagine, knowing who you're talking to, who your audience is, greatly impacts your marketing messaging. So now we're going to talk about how to craft a strong marketing message. This is another area that businesses of all types and all sizes quickly get off track on, because they don't really have a clear sense of how to communicate what it is that they actually do. Now, there's a lot of different formats for approaching how to really sell your company, how to pitch your brand, how to really give a tight narrative about what you do as a business. Now, the concepts that we're going to cover will really fit into a lot of those different formulas. You know, things like Story Brand by Don Miller, we'll maybe talk about here towards the end. There's different formats for crafting a strong marketing message. The things that we're going to focus on are the concept description, the problem statement, your overt benefit. What is it that you benefit your customer by doing? Reason to believe and call to action. So the first thing you really need to get clear on as a company, and go around your office. Ask your employees, ask your frontline workers at the counter what it is that you do. And you might be surprised at how wide it varies from one person to the next when they answer the question of what it is your business does. You need to get a clear concept description. Now, that is not just a list of features or a product list or anything like that. It's a simple explanation of what you do and how you help. You want to use plain language here. You want to use short sentences. You don't want to use buzzwords or jargon or acronyms. It's something that a non-expert would understand immediately if you told them what it is that you do. And it often takes the form of, we help blank, that is your audience, do blank, that is, you know, the problem you're overcoming by blank. What is that end result? What is the way in which you deliver on that promise of overcoming that problem? So over at OnSharp, we say that what we do at OnSharp is we help companies achieve greater success through custom software solutions. That can take different shape depending on where we are putting that message. But in general, that's the format it takes. It speaks to who we help. It speaks to how we help them and what it is that we help them accomplish, that overcoming complex challenges with custom solutions. That's an example of that. So you want to make sure that you've clearly understood what is the concept of your business. Next, you really need to cover off on what is the problem. And again, you can just sit down with a piece of paper and start listing these things out. You have to understand the problems that you are solving. And you have to understand the customer's problems. Way too many companies, way too many advertisements, way too many, you know, print ads, online ads, YouTube commercials, whatever it is, talk about the company and what it is you do and why you're so good at it, all that. And this has its place, but ultimately your customer does not care about you. And that's hard for business owners to hear. They don't care about you. They care about themselves and addressing their problems and challenges. And you really need to speak to those. And that can take a lot of different shapes. If you have, you know, something really concrete, like you're an electrician or a plumber, well, you understand those problems might be very specific. They might be very urgent. They have, you know, they have got broken pipes and it's causing damage in their home, or they're not able to be in their house right now because there's an electrical issue or their building. You can start to understand what those are, and you want to make them and get down to the emotional level about that as much as you can. But you have to understand what those problems are before you can do that. So for example, the app Slack, well, what is the problem it's solving? There's too many emails. It's too hard to communicate. There's too many systems for people to send messages back and forth, and they can't keep track of it. So Slack pulls those things together and makes it really easy. You have to understand the problem you're solving and address that in your marketing messaging. So a really strong problem statement is going to be specific. It's going to be relevant. It's going to be emotional. It's going to speak to the cost that they have if they don't take this action. Now, that might look different depending on what kind of business you are in, but that'll fit regardless of what it is you're selling. Whether you are selling lunch, whether you're selling custom software services, if you are in the trades, all of those things matter. What is the problem that you're solving? And you can sit down with a paper, list out 30 of those, go after the main one that you're solving and tie it to emotion. Not just, hey, I need my pipes fixed, but they're also want it done timely. They don't want to feel ripped off. They want to trust that it's going to be done right. All of those things, those might be problems that you are addressing. Next, you need to talk about the benefits. What is the benefit that they're going to get from working with you? And again, you have to avoid jargon. We've all seen advertisements that, you know, when you're watching TV, listening to the radio, and afterwards you're like, I have no idea what that company does. You know, they talk about they have end-to-end solutions leveraging innovative strategies to give you more synergy in your back-end systems. And it's like, I have no idea what that is. That could be anything. You have to get specific. Don't use jargon words. Don't use things that are only meaningful inside your business. Speak to what the actual benefits are for your end customer. What changes for them? What pain is removed? And that could be lots of things. And a lot of those are going to drill down into those ideas of, you know, whether it's convenience, whether it's that you need to self-preservation in either a large or a small sense, security in either a large or a small sense. There's all these different things that we are really drawn to. What is it that you are solving for them? And think through not only that immediate benefit of, hey, you know, your pipes work, you can use your sink, the electricity is working in your home, all those things. What is it that you are really overcoming for them? Well, you can be comfortable in your own home, and you can speak to that as the benefits of what it is you provide. You don't want to just use a list of features. Customers don't buy different things based on features. They don't buy tools. They buy outcomes. And if you pay attention to really strong marketing messaging, you'll recognize that they're not talking about just the features that is in their product or their service. They're talking about the outcome that you're going to get if you make that purchase, if you do business with that company. What is life going to be like on the other side of that sale? But if you're making those claims, you have to give them this next point, a reason to believe. How are they going to know that you can actually deliver on these things? Well, you need to show maybe experience. You could say things like what we do. We've been doing, you know, custom solutions for 25 years. It's a big deal. You might have some really great reviews that you could put on your websites or in your advertising. You might have some really recognizable brands as your customers, and you've been to websites where they show the logos on the bottom of the different companies that they work with. They're establishing social proof to you, so you recognize, oh, these people are trustworthy. These people can deliver on what they say they will do. If you won an award, you can make sure that that is known and that is front and center in your marketing. There's different ways that you can highlight your experience, your proof, your credibility. And all that's doing is giving them a reason to believe you. We're all very skeptical. We see thousands of marketing messages a day, and we don't believe hardly any of them. You have to give them a reason to believe. Lastly, you have to have a call to action. Every message needs a clear call to action. So many brands don't do this. There's so many times that you'll see an ad or you'll hear a marketing message and they don't tell you what to do next. And it's not that it's a mystery. You know, obviously you understand that they want you to visit the website and buy it, stop in, you know, and have a meal, that sort of thing. But the very fact of saying it has a huge impact. You wouldn't believe how big a deal it is. Using a specific, clear call to action can increase conversion rates by 161%. So it's the difference between just having your website and saying, hey, buy today. It can be as simple as that. Stop in today for an oil change. Bring your coupon in for 10% off. Tell them what to do. If you don't have a clear call to action, you'll have no momentum. So what we're doing in this part is we're trying to really craft that strong marketing message. As Donald Miller said, people don't buy the best products. They buy the products that they can understand the fastest. There's a lot of competition out there, no matter what line of work you're in. So you need to make sure that you're not only talking to the right people, but you're saying the right things in the right way so that your audience will understand how it is that you can benefit them and you call them to action, call them to make that purchase. Well, like we said, a strong message clearly states the problem. It promises a better outcome. It gives people a reason to trust you and tells them what to do next. That's covering off on crafting a strong marketing message. On the other side of the break, we're going to look at how can you establish trust with your potential customers. So more on that when we come back. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. My name is Clay, and I'm the marketing director over at OnSharp. And we've been having a conversation about how to improve your marketing by getting back to basics. And we've just covered off on defining your audience and crafting your marketing message. And now we need to look at establishing trust. If you feel like your marketing is not working, there's a good chance that you haven't given your audience a reason to trust the things that you're saying. It's not enough just to build a business, to make a product, to have a service, and expect people are just going to come flocking in. Doesn't work like that. And it's not enough merely to tell the right people and tell them in a way that they can appreciate and understand what it is you have to offer. Those are important, but it's not enough because, as I said before the break, people see thousands of marketing messages every day. We're inundated with advertising and marketing at all times, in all places, it seems like. And so trust is pretty low. There's a lot of skepticism that's there. So if you're trying to improve your marketing in 2026, take a close look at, are you establishing trust? When you're doing marketing and advertising well, you're getting your message in front of the right people in a way that resonates so they come to know and like you. Next, they need to trust you because as the old adage is, people do business with those who they know, like, and trust. So let's talk about establishing trust. First, why is it even essential? Well, customers are risk averse, and that is especially true in B2B and in service industries. People are very risk averse. They don't want to be taken advantage of. They don't want to make the wrong decision. And that aversion to risk gets higher at the higher price point. So if you have an expensive product or service or whatever else, obviously you really need to establish quite a bit of trust if you're going to close that sale, gain a new customer. So the question becomes, how can you build trust before the sale? Before someone decides to do business with you, how can you show them that they can trust the claims that you are making with your marketing messaging? Well, one of those things is having really clear messaging. If you're all over the board, if they see one ad that says one thing, they come to your website and it doesn't look the same, doesn't sound the same, doesn't hit the same message, they go into a location and they're getting more different messaging still, that's not going to establish trust. So it needs to be clear and it needs to be consistent across all touch points. If you come across confident and clear in how it is that you're going to help them, you're going to establish trust a lot faster than if you're just kind of muddling your way through it, hoping that they'll do the work to understand how it is that you can benefit them and solve their problems. Another way to establish trust is a lot of transparency. That could be transparency in your pricing. If you're looking to differentiate from your competition, take a look at how do they do pricing. Is it clearly marked? Is it really convoluted? Is it easy to understand? If not, you've got a great opportunity to offer really clear, maybe even flat rate pricing, make it prominent on your website or within the store, and you can make it a bit of an advantage for you by having that clarity in your pricing. You want to have that transparency wherever you can in your business. People don't want you to make grand promises that you can deliver on. Be clear and be truthful, be transparent. Also, we mentioned a little bit earlier the importance of social proof. Can you highlight the number of customers? Can you call out an award you've won? Can you highlight the years that you've been in business? Can you show some customer logos on your website or in your advertising that can help people understand, oh yeah, you can be trusted to do this. And there's different things that you can do in your business too. Try to understand what is in the customer's mind. What would prevent them from purchasing from you? What are those trust issues that they might have? Think back to the early days of online retail, and you have companies like Zappos selling shoes. Well, it's pretty clear to understand, why would someone think it's risky to buy shoes on the internet? Because they didn't put them on their feet, right? The reason you want to go into the store is because you try the shoe on and you walk around and the guy comes around and he touches your toe and he tells you that these shoes fit. And you look in that weird little angled mirror and you decide they look good. If you can't do those things, you might not trust that buying experience. So what does Zappos do? Free returns. If you get those shoes and they don't fit well, you don't like the look, you can return them for free. It took that hurdle, that risk, completely out of the equation, and it really helped skyrocket their business. It's a bit of an older example, but you can see how that might apply to you and your business. What would prevent someone from trusting that they can do business with you, and how can you remove that? So those are some things that you can do before the sale. Now let's talk about what you can do after the sale. And it's way easier and more lucrative, and more important rather, to keep a customer than to find a new one. If you can keep your customers and then get them to go recommend you to others, that is worth way more than all the advertising and marketing that you could be doing. So how do you build trust after the sale? Well, first you got to deliver what was promised. If you highlighted what their problems were and the benefits that you're going to bring, you need to deliver on that or they're not going to trust you next time. If you have a bit of a process or a software product, for example, and there's onboarding, you need to make that really clear and easy and really friction-free. Remind them that they made a right decision when they chose to do business with you. Good ongoing communication, that's a pretty clear one. But a big one that I like to highlight with companies, particularly if you have, you know, face-to-face interactions with your customers, you work at a restaurant, you have a quick oil change location, whatever that might be, anticipate what could go wrong. Sit down with a piece of paper and mark every step that goes into the process of delivering your product or services. Someone calls, they make an appointment, they show up, they drop off their vehicle, they sit in the waiting room, and then they, you know, pick up their vehicle and they go for an oil change. Write all of those things out. They pay at the end. Okay, what could go wrong in all those? They call, nobody answers the phone. They show up with an appointment and you're not ready for them. They wait too long in the waiting room. Their bill's not accurate, or you try to hike things up at the end. All of these things are problems that could really hinder them having a good experience and then have a pre-planned solution to solving those problems. If you understand that, yes, sometimes someone's going to come in for a 20-minute oil change and it's going to take 45 minutes to an hour, we'll have your frontline employees empowered and ready with a, you know, 30% off coupon to hand them to apologize and to give it to someone for them to come back next time. Chick-fil-A does a great job of this. If you've ever had an issue at Chick-fil-A for you waited a long time, they'll hand out a little card for a free sandwich or free fries or free breakfast on your next visit. Anticipate problems and have a plan in place to solve them, and that will build trust. Because as you erode trust, you are going to make it so much harder to maintain business. You're not going to get repeat customers. You're not going to earn word of mouth marketing. And in fact, you're going to get negative reviews, which can be a real hurdle, almost impossible to overcome once it reaches a certain percentage of the reviews that are available for people to find. So you don't want to overpromise, and you want to deliver a consistent experience. If every time you went to a particular brand hotel, it looked different, people were friendly sometimes, not friendly the next, the room was a nice size one time and a really way too small before, the parking lot was well lit and safe, and the next time it was a little sketchy, the room was loud versus quiet. If it was an inconsistent experience, you don't trust that brand and you're going to stop going. So be consistent in how you deliver your products or services as well. Another big one too is make sure that your sales, your advertising aren't saying one thing and then reality is something else. If you go to McDonald's right now and you look up at the menu board, you're going to see these beautiful handcrafted burgers that are giant and amazing and everything's stacked just right. And then you get your burger and it looks like they sat on it after they wrapped it. That is a huge gap between the expectation that you've given and then the reality that you deliver. You want that gap to be as small as possible, if there at all, so that you are gaining trust with each and every transaction. So what's marketing's role in all this? Well, marketing helps set expectations correctly. You really have to resist that urge to overpromise. Understand what you do, why you do it well, be able to clearly articulate that to your core audience, and then deliver that. You don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. You're way better off underpromising and overdelivering. So try to think out how you can do that in your business. Again, you want to deliver a consistent brand experience across all touch points, whether that's different locations, different forms of advertising, different marketing messages they may get. You want to be consistent and you want to highlight reasons for people to trust you. Because like I said at the beginning of this segment, people buy from those that they know, like, and trust. And of course, marketing plays an important role in all three of those elements. So we've covered off on how to define your audience, how to craft a marketing message that is persuasive and engaging, and how to build trust for your brand. As we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about how you can build your brand, how you can build and improve the perception that others have of your company. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. My name is Clay. We've been talking about how to fix your marketing by returning back to basic marketing principles. Talked about how to define your audience. We've talked about how to craft your marketing message. And we've talked about how to really establish trust with your core audience. As we kind of wrap up this conversation, we're going to discuss how can you build your brand. And there's actually a lot of confusion with that with different business owners, entrepreneurs. They don't quite understand what a brand is. Far too many people think that we're only talking about logos and taglines and colors. That can be a part of your branding, but that's not what a brand is. So to help us with that understanding, here's a helpful definition from Seth Godin. He says, a brand is a set of expectations, memories, stories, and relationships that, taken together, account for a customer's decision to choose one product or service over another. That was super long. I'm going to read it again. A brand is a set of expectations, memories, stories, and relationships that, taken together, account for a consumer's decision to choose one product or service over another. So in short, you don't control your brand. The brand is the perception in your customer's mind of you and your business. It's not a logo. It's what people expect from you. And that's built over time. And that takes a long time and often a lot of advertising dollars to establish a strong brand. When you think of Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Nike, there is a reason that Nike can have an ad campaign and only show their logo at the end. They don't say their name, but you know that it's Nike. There's a reason that they can have really distinct taglines that don't say what they do. Nike, just do it. You wouldn't know unless you had all this experience with the company that that had anything to do with athletic wear or shoes or anything else. But when you say Nike, what is it that you think of? Well, you think of athletes, you think of grit and determination, you think of strength, you think of all these things because they've established that in all of their marketing, their advertising, their branding. They've built that in to folks' minds over time. Now, to establish a strong brand, you have to make every interaction count. whether that's in person, online, with ads, delivering the service, all of that has to be taken into account so that you can grow your brand perception. Marketing, sales, service, the frontline workers, all of those contribute to your brand perception. And of course, it does matter. Your tone, your style, your visual branding, all of that contributes to your overall brand, but that's not exclusively what it is. So yes, you need to have conversations about font choices and will your tone be serious or fun or silly, personable or professional? What will your brand colors be? And using those consistently across all your advertising and your marketing, all of that stuff matters. But your brand is so much bigger than that. It's really about a promise. It's really having folks think of you and your company and understand what it is you will deliver and really being able to do that. Because you've got a brand. You just might not like what that is. Because again, it's in the mind of the consumer. Your brand might actually be negative if you consistently deliver a negative experience, and that is a huge hurdle to overcome. So you want to make sure you get this right. You want to have a brand promise, what it is that you are going to do for them. Have a clear expectation that you set with your customers. It's not just a slogan. It's not just a commitment. Ask yourself as a company, when you think of these brand promises, these core values, the most important question you can ask is, what are you willing to lose money on in order to uphold? And if you're not willing to lose a sale or eat some costs because you're trying to uphold this brand promise, then that's not really a brand promise. It's not really a core value of your company. So if you say that, hey, we're going to guarantee that we deliver on time, and then you don't, if you're not willing to take a hit on what that customer pays, that's not actually a brand promise that you have. So understand, what is your brand promise and what are you willing to lose money on in order to uphold? And if you really care about, you know, giving back to the community, if some environmental thing, if you're not willing to take a hit financially in order to uphold that brand promise, you haven't found your brand promise just yet. You have to understand, these brands, they're built by repetition. People believe what they experience consistently. All those interactions matter. That's why you don't want to just have these one-off marketing campaigns and advertising campaigns going out the door. It might feel like you're busy and you're moving the needle, but really you could be harming your brand perception over time. You want to be steady. You want to be consistent. And those one-off campaigns don't build brands. So when you are doing ad campaigns or promotionals and all those things, you want to make sure that you are always keeping those things on brand wherever possible. All your touch points need to reinforce. Website, onboarding, sales conversations, customer support, all of these things build your brand. And you have to be consistent. Consistency matters more than creativity. Your logo could not look as good as some others and your fonts aren't great and your ads aren't all that creative. But if you are consistent in delivering what you promised, you'll have a great brand. Familiarity breeds trust. Having the same message, tone, expectations everywhere helps. Again, if you have random experiences every time you go into a store, totally different from one day to the next, you're not going to trust that brand. There's a reason that people go overseas to these wonderful locations. And where do they eat first? They eat at McDonald's. Because they know exactly what it's going to be and they know what they're going to get. That familiarity reduces hurdles to buy. So you want to make sure that you understand that branding is how people feel after they interact with you. Their confidence, their trust, their clarity, their agreement that you delivered on your brand promise. So do this exercise. If you're trying to understand, do you actually have an established brand or not? Grab a recent advertisement. Look at your homepage and your website and take off the logo. If your logo was removed from your ad or your website, would people still recognize it as your brand? I think you could definitely say that if you grabbed a John Deere advertisement, an Under Armour advertisement, any number of brands that you're familiar with, and you probably recognize that that was their brand, even if they didn't name it or say it. You've all seen billboards for McDonald's that just have their red and it says exit 138 or whatever else. You know exactly what's happening because they've established that brand over time. So we want to make sure that you're working on establishing that brand, and that's in the mind of your consumer. So I'm hoping that this conversation has been helpful to you, because when you define your audience, when you clarify your message, when you build trust and you stay consistent, marketing stops feeling mysterious and like a waste of time, and it starts working the way it should. So I hope that helps. That's it for today's episode of the Business Blueprint. You can check out more resources, and you can even submit your questions at businessblueprintshow.com. And we'll be back with you in just a couple of weeks for the next episode of the Business Blueprint. Thanks a lot.